Yo, 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 Thought Warriors, what's going on? Higher Learners on, what's up?
You're not going to tell them who you are?
They know.
Wow. Man. I'm Rachel Lindsay. In the 3 years of Higher Learning, I don't think we've ever started the podcast off like that.
I'm pissed off, man.
Something's not right. You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm in Louisiana, and my Uncle Ray died.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it's my dad's last brother, right? And let me tell you why I'm mad. I'll be honest with you. It's not a rational reason for me being upset. I've been mad ever since I came to Louisiana. I'm here. It's a beautiful winter day here in Baton Rouge. I'm looking out. There's a view, the whole nine. I'll tell you why I'm mad. I'm mad because of the bullshit.
Okay.
And I'm burying, or we're burying, shout out to Deborah and Bishop, his children. Deborah is his ex-wife. Bishop is his son. His daughters, everyone. John Ray Lathan is his name. I'm mad because I'm here in Baton Rouge, and this is my father's last brother who's passed away. They're all gone. A whole generation of men. Ray, mm-hmm. Milton, my Uncle Mark, and my father. Everybody, Uncle Mark was in his 50s. Everybody else was in their 60s. And I'm just sick of the bullshit. I'm sick of the dysfunctional lies. Like, I'm here. I see it. I see what black people go through. I see how hard the living is down here. All of these guys made individual choices.
Mm-hmm.
They did. They all made individual choices. And I'm not in any way absolving them from the choices that they made, either about their health, about their diet, drug use, whatever. I'm not absolving them of any of that stuff. But I'm not crazy. Like, I'm from the place where I see the way black people got to live. Like, I'm from there. And it's fucking taking a toll on me.
Mm.
Like, I worship these guys. And it's been like, since my dad died, since Uncle fucking Mark died, and then Uncle Charles died, and everybody died. It's like taking a toll on me. Like, it's hard living down here. Mm-hmm. And nobody fucking cares. I don't care enough. And then I go back into the world, and I have to listen to platitudes, and I have to listen to people make excuses, and people talk about different stuff, and people deal with all kinds of, and this is this, and this is that, and why don't you do this? And it's like, people are on drugs. They have cancer. This man died of cancer. He had cancer. Everyone gets cancer here. Everyone has some weird disease. Everyone eats shit. The place is fucked up. There wasn't a grocery store in all of North Baton Rouge. There wasn't a grocery store in North Baton Rouge. They didn't. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to understand what I'm saying again. The people from fucking Rouse's, a huge grocery store chain that exists here in Baton Rouge, right? They had to put a grocery store semi-north here in Baton Rouge because one of the owners of Rouse's was caught going to the January 6th thing. So in order for him to deal with that, we were able to get, shout out to Gino and the rest of the people that were on this, we were able to get a grocery store put in North Baton Rouge. And it's not even that far north.
So you're telling me it was 2021?
Yes.
Before there was a grocery store?
I'm telling you that there was not, I'm telling you that, like, when I'm talking to people and I'm delivering this stuff, Sometimes I emotionalize it, and sometimes I just emote, and sometimes, but we deal with the shit here. This is, I'm in this shit. I'm not talking about anything that I've academically observed. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about the carnage of the situation around me. We partying, we dance through it, and, you know, we're going to put Uncle Ray down, and we're going to all come together, and there's going to be a repass. I don't know, like, what's going on and all of this stuff. I'm not, I came down, I don't even know why I came down here. Like, they probably not going, because they're probably not going to be able to put him down by the time I'm here. I can't do it any other time. I just came down here just to be feeling painful. Like, I came down here just to be a part of it, just to feel like I'm engaging into the rest of the shit. And look, I'm not blaming the world for what happened to him or to what happened to my father or what happened to Mark or what happened to Milton. Another one of my childhood friends, Sean G, he just passed away. Like, I'm not blaming the world for any of this. But what I'm telling you is that, like, I don't want to hear people talk about how tough they got it, and what would you do if this was you, and all of this, and, like, we want this. I don't want to hear the platitudes and the equivocations and all of that stuff anymore. Like, I want better for my fucking people. I want better. We're owed better. I'm being torn apart. Like, LA is not real life. It's not a real place. This is the real place. And there are parts of LA where you can go and experience this too. I'm just saying, like, my life in LA, let me put it like this. LA is a real place. It is. Because this is happening there too, in a ruthlessly and viciously segregated city where Black people need help and are dealing with all kinds of stuff. So let me pull back. My LA, the life that I live in LA, is a vacation to me from the real shit that people here and other people are going through. And I show up as much as I can, and we're doing as much as we can. We do all of this stuff. But at the same time, I'm going to finish after this. I'm just mad. I'm mad that he died. I'm mad. I seen him at my dad's funeral. He looked totally healthy. Like, he had a car accident earlier this year. They said he was fine. He came out of it. And then last week, all of his organs shut down. The cancer came back. And then I find out how he's living and where he's living and the circumstances of it. And I'm like, man, what are we supposed to do? Like, it's just, I'm sick of people acting like some problem has been solved or there was some period in history where this was what it was. I'm sick of people talking about the dysfunction and the ills of the Black community in the past tense and everything that they've done to help. You haven't done anything. Nothing has changed. Everything is fucked up. And it was done that way on purpose. And I'm sick of it. I'm about to break.
I'm sorry for your family's loss. And I'm sorry that, I mean, for everything that you're feeling and that you're seeing. I mean, I don't really have the answers. You know what I mean? I'm trying to search for the words to give you some comfort, and I don't even really know what to say.
And then on top of that, you came to the podcast dressed up like Eazy-E.
I could provide you some levity.
I don't understand what your, like, why, Donnie, like, isn't Rachel on her Straight Outta Compton shit right now? Look what's going on.
I'm trying to pull up some Spotify. I'm moving too slow.
Yeah, like you
move slower.
Like, you look at you. So you looked in the mirror right now when you came. But first of all, I'm not calm. But you on your shit right now.
Okay, Rachel. I'm in a muumuu. You know how much I love my muumuus. I'm in a muumuu. It's cold in Dallas. I was not prepared for this weather, and To be very honest with you, I didn't start the podcast on with the hat on my head, but the angle of the camera, I'm not in my normal place. The angle of the camera made my head look enormously big. If you can believe it, it looked bigger than before. And I thought, Rachel, you need to put a hat on your head. And that's how we came to this look. It was not my normal attire, but it looked big. You want me to snatch it off to give you, something to laugh about?
I'm fucking with the NWA look, though. Because even your braids, they look Jerry Curl-esque. I'm fucking with it.
These are goddess braids. Donnie, we missed the moment.
Yeah, the fuck I'm talking about.
I forgot what I was gonna say. Listen, these are goddess braids. Stop doing that. These are goddess braids. You know what they are. I don't know, Jerry curl in my head.
I would respect you if you had a. Did you ever have a curl before?
No.
My dad wouldn't allow it.
You asked?
I tried to, yeah. I wanted one.
What inspired you to want a Jerry curl? Like, who did you look at? And you were like, that's what I want.
So there was a kid at school, and he came to school one day, and he had regular hair, and then he had to curl, like, the next week. And I was like, shit. His shit was kind of laid, too. It was kind of one of the longer curls. And I was like, and my dad was like, son, never, ever in a million years will I allow you to desecrate your body like that. His exact words. Desecrate.
You could, it's not too late. You could grow your hair out and put a little curl in.
It's going to be patchy, though, because I don't have enough hair now.
I'd like to see you try.
I'll do it. I've been broken. All right, I'm broken. Okay? You guys expect some radical shit in my old age. You know how people, they grow and they get more conservative as they grow? I'm on the verge of something, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I think everyone feels this way. There's only so much shit I can deal with. It's like, I'm not built for this.
I would say that 2023 has arguably been one of the hardest years of my life. I was talking to my mom about that today. I'm not going to get into detail, but I would say it has hit me from every single way, and it has not stopped. I mean, just last week I was going through some shit.
Same thing. I thought about your grandma as I was flying down here, because I was thinking, what a blessing it is to be able to lead a long life like that.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about as much shit, but we don't just talk about the blessing of being able to see generations of people and the impact that your grandmother had and all of that stuff. So
that's it. It's the legacy. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about y'all. I am. And maybe like, you know, I agree with you when you say, not that LA's La La Land, but the world we live in, and especially the industry, we're detached. And then you come back home and you see things in a different way. It's like it sucks you out of your bubble. Like there's something about coming home where you're like, I don't know. I get you. So maybe in 2024 and beyond, we think of things we can truly do in our communities to have an impact, and just think about it when you're there and then you forget about it when you leave. It's not that your heart's not in the right place. It's just easy to get caught up in your own world.
But you know, the thing is, I'll be doing that stuff in LA, and it's like it and I see it, but it still feels optional in a way. It doesn't
isn't dedicated to it. Do you know what I mean? You've said this before. When we first used to talk, you know, we started this podcast in 2020. You were very emphatic about saying, I am not an activist. And you would say, because you don't wake up every day, you're not boots on the ground, your entire life and being isn't dedicated. And I think you'll always feel like that unless your whole life is dedicated. And even then, you can only do so much. You can only work on one cause. Not one cause, but you know what I mean? You can't solve everything. And I think you'll always feel that unless you fully immerse yourself in it.
Yeah, well, rest in peace, Uncle Ray.
Rest in peace, Uncle Ray.
I'll head to the funeral home after this. A whole generation of men gone. Very odd feeling. Last thing I'll say about this is to everyone out there who knew my uncle and who loved him, that for the younger generation of kids in my family, I knew a different version of these men. It's just hard for me to... It's hard for me to come to terms with some of the stuff. Because when I was growing up, they were different. They were young. They were strong. They were ambitious. A lot of them had problems, but there was still, the book hadn't been written. There was this whole unknown. We're going to do this. We're going to buy this land. We're going to start this company. We might have been inside for a little while, but we're out now, and now we have opportunities to start families and doing all of this stuff. And it's just, it's surreal looking back now that the final page has been written on it. It's just not fucking easy. All right, well,
can I just say, you talk about legacy. You talked about my grandmother. Mm-hmm. You're the legacy. You have those memories. You passed them down. You know how they were. It had an effect on you. It's part of who you are. So you're the legacy in that.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yes. It is a lot of pressure, but I'm just saying, yes, a life has ended, but not a memory, not the impact, not all of that. I just don't want you to.
I don't think I'm the right guy. I ate a full catfish platter from Chimes last night. And
that sounds amazing.
Balls. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm the right guy. And you're the right guy. I'll tell you something else. Just before we leave, on that, did I stress eat last night? Yes. I'm going to tell y'all something right now.
Well deserved.
I'm going to tell you something right now. This fucking health curse, I'm not doing this. I've vacillated. I've made enough excuses. I'm aware that, hey, I'm beautiful in any size. I'm aware of that. It's not no longer good enough for me. Everyone is beautiful at every size. I have to relentlessly focus on being around. We don't give enough credit to just being. I have to relentlessly focus on being around. It's whatever has to happen. If I got to eat broccoli and cauliflower for the rest of my life, I have to focus on being around. We just didn't get enough out of them. All right. Gender wars time. Simone Biles. This will be a good palate cleanser. Sorry for the heavy beginning.
Is this big deal of the day?
Is it? It's not a big deal. It's just whatever. We just people saying stuff. Who fucking cares, right?
And don't apologize for how you started the podcast. Keep going. Sorry.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, Simone Biles. She went on the Pivot podcast with her husband, Jonathan Owens, who plays for the Green Bay Packers. And yes, people, I'm sorry to say, Jonathan Owens is Simone Biles' husband. That's his designation.
That's they don't the mind that.
They don't. They don't mind it. But that's the way it works, man. You know, let's not fucking change the way it works now. A$AP Rocky used to be a rapper. Who is he now? Rihanna's baby. Rihanna's father.
It's the way that it works.
It's the way that it works, man. It's not fair. Okay? It's not right. But that's how it fucking works in this celebrity-obsessed putrid culture that we've created. They went on a pivot, and they talked about their romance, how they met. You know, you see her at games and stuff. It's cold out there. Little thing is all bundled up. And I'm like, God damn. Like, you must really love him. He played for the Packers. You go out there. But this is Owens making some comments that got Black Twitter going.
And I'm like, let me see who this is. Gymnastics. I ain't never, you know, I never really paid attention to gymnastics. So it piqued my curiosity, you know. So I'm like, okay, I'll see what's up. I swiped her and it said we matched. So I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm going to see what's up. So I go do my workout and I come back. And I get like, I had some likes on my Instagram, you know, and I'm like, oh, this might be it. I'm like, okay. So I see what's up. And then I still waited. I'm like, man, I'm gonna wait till I, you know, take a shower and everything. Then I come back to my phone and then she messages me on the app, like, hey, you know what I mean? And I'm, man, that's up, man. This gotta be fake. Like, I don't know. Just, I didn't know who she was at the time, but like the first thing that I saw was that she just had a bunch of followers. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, she gotta be good if. Yeah. I promise you, I'm a real life story. When she won the Olympics, I was in college and we didn't have NBC. We didn't have Olympic channels and we're in camp late July, early August. So I'm not paying attention to, you know, so I never would have had a moment to where I would have watched, like, you know.
Jonathan, I'm going to let you finish your story, man. Continue.
But like I was saying, man, she messaged me. This was like a Tuesday. And we were texting back and forth, and then we hung out Friday, man. And we couldn't do much as COVID happened. Everything was shut down. So she came through down to Houston. She lived in the suburbs, so she had to drive about 45 minutes to me. Then the rest is history, man. So
you was really the catch in...
I always say we the men the catch, man. I always say we the catch.
Richie! So we have I'll say about this. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. Because we were off because, you know, Christmas and stuff. And then, you know, it happened in between pods. So there's been a lot of conversation about this. And I feel like most of the conversation about it has already been had. So we're playing a little bit of catch up. But I'm sure you have thoughts.
Sure. Well, you probably expect me to have super strong thoughts, right? People probably expect me to go hard on Jonathan Owens. I'm not going to do that because the internet has been harsh enough. I will say... And we played a sound clip. And if you go and you watch the video, it is very obvious to the interviewers that they don't believe what Jonathan Owens is saying. And it takes a simple fact check, a simple Google search to determine that, or just like common sense, right? They met in 2020. You say you went to your Instagram and saw that she liked your page. You go to her Instagram and see that she has a lot of followers. And by a lot, he means over 7 million. In her bio on her Instagram, it says Olympic medalist. So you're telling me you didn't scroll through her Instagram page? You didn't Google her name? That's what we do. So I just don't, the whole, I didn't have NBC. That's everybody has NBC. They've gone back and they've looked up his social media history. He was tweeting about the Olympics. He said he never watched the gymnastics in general, not just Simone Biles. He said, I never really watched gymnastics. You were actively tweeting about Gabby Douglas to the point where you were even making fun of her physical appearance. So it just feels like this was one of those things where Simone Biles is arguably one of the greatest athletes. And the best to ever do it.
She's not arguably one of the greatest. She's arguably the greatest, but she's definitely one of the greatest.
One of the greatest, mm-hmm. The greatest in gymnastics, mm-hmm. The most decorated. you know, I saw somebody say, you don't have to watch swimming to know who Michael Phelps is, especially somebody who's in sports. You have heard of the name Simone Biles. So it just felt like this was one of those things where since they've been dating, and mind you, I'd like to also add to his contradict his argument in this. He's like, well, you know, when she was in the Olympics, I was in camp. Well, she was also in the Olympics in 2020, a month before you guys met in later 2020. So her name, like, she's been out there. Stop. So you obviously weren't watching it. You're saying you weren't watching it as well in 2020. Come on now. And then there's worlds in between. Stop. This felt like one of those things where he was very comfortable in his setting, kind of like that locker room barbershop talk where he was big upping his situation. He was making it seem like it was more than it was. He has spent since the moment they've been together being Mr. Simone Biles. And this was his opportunity to shine. The interview was about his career, his mental health, his relationship with Simone. And he was feeling himself in the moment when he was talking about being a catch. Now, I will say, this is all I'm going to say negatively about it. It is a little bit of a red flag. I'm not going to say he's not a catch to Simone Biles. I don't know what her criteria is for wanting a man. I don't know what she, you know, he is a catch to her. Who's to say what a catch is for Simone versus what a catch is for Jonathan? I have no idea. So I'm not going to pick apart their relationship or say they shouldn't be together or tell Simone she needs to run from it. But I will say, it takes a very, very strong man to be with a woman like a Simone Biles. And this felt like, rather than being more humble, felt like to promote himself, he had to diminish who she was. That's just what it looked like.
You feel like he diminished her?
Well, the catch situation. Like, he's okay, like, I'm a catch. No, I'm the catch. I'm the catch. It just felt like he had to put her down to build himself up. I don't really think that's what he was doing. I think he got caught up in the moment and was really filling himself in the conversation.
So it's interesting that you point out that part as being the part that diminishes her. I think saying that, being an athlete and saying that you had never heard of the most decorated women's gymnast of all time, I think that was diminishing. The catch part, I don't think is that diminishing at all. If you think that I think anyone thinking that they're the catch is kind of odd to me. Like, I don't think that, I think that
you shouldn't have to say it.
What do you mean you shouldn't have to say? Well,
if you're a catch, you don't need to announce to everyone that you're a catch.
You don't need to. To me, I'm against even thinking it. Okay. Like, I'm against even thinking it. All right. When you put it out there that, like, I'm a catch, like, I understand the ethos of it. I'm somebody that people would want to be with. Cool. However, when you're trying to catch a fish, you're trying to capture the fish. You're capturing the fish. To me, relationships are supposed to be about connection.
Sure.
They're supposed to be about not exalting yourself to some level. It's supposed to be about connecting and relating to someone. The man isn't the catch. The woman isn't the catch. The man isn't the prize. The woman isn't the prize. The prize is the stable, functional, and loving union between two people. And that takes so much selflessness. It takes much sacrifice. It takes so much self-awareness that if you view yourself as a catch a lot of times, it is going to be difficult for you to have a successful one of those, because you're always going to think, well, this is hard, but I could probably do better. This is difficult, but why am I doing this with this person who has caught me? So to me, I think it's toxic for anyone to look at it like that. I think, don't get me wrong, I understand feeling like, hey, I shouldn't have to just put up with anything. A lot of people will want me. I understand where that comes from. But if you're really locked into a relationship, particularly a marriage, if you look at it like a man is the catch, a woman is the catch, do I believe that men should do more to woo and court women? Yes, but that's because I'm a traditionalist. And I think that women deal with different things in society than men do. And I think sometimes a man courting a woman in a specific way is him demonstrating to her that he's available to her despite what society thinks he is supposed to do. So when you do stuff for a woman and you provide security, safety, and connection for a lady, what you're really doing is showing her that all the things that society told me I had to be, I don't have to be them with you. I can be here for you in a second. I can, if I, even if I have to conquer the whole world, I don't have to conquer you. Even if I have to, even if I have to dominate the whole world, I don't have to dominate you. And well, so to me, I think that that's the reason why you do that. But you don't do that to me because like of some like unbalance of who is the bigger deal in the relationship from a romantic situation.
You are so right. But you, the reason I say the catch thing is really sticks with me because Jonathan Owens was obviously knows that the only reason that he was on that podcast is because he is married to Simone Biles. If Simone Biles didn't show up as well, who knows if they would have interviewed him, right? It's a very popular podcast. They have the top athletes on there or newsmakers or whatever it may be. Jonathan Owens is a professional NFL player, which is an accomplishment for sure, but he's definitely not one of the top players. There's no arguing against that. I mean, if you look at his career, he's been on the practice squad more than he's been on an active roster. He's not superstar. That is fact. I'm saying is the only reason he's on that podcast is because of his marriage, and he knows that. And the reason the catch thing bothered me, and the reason that I say you use the word he, you shouldn't have to exalt yourself. He didn't just say, I'm the catch. He goes on to describe after he makes that statement that he was not the one pursuing her. He brags about the fact that she drove a long way from the suburbs to come see him, that she had liked his profile, that she had liked his pictures before, that he wasn't even really trying to settle down and get married like that, but she was the one putting the pressure and pursuing him. So he is putting himself up like, I'm this, and she, you all think Simone Biles is this, 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 and this, and she is, but when it came to me, she was the one trying to pursue me. He is putting her down to build himself up, and that to me shows his insecurities on full display, and I am not doubting the relationship they have, but it is something to note to self. He is not fully comfortable with the dynamics of their relationship. And that was obvious to me in that podcast with the way he handled that situation.
Can I be real with you? And by the way, everybody talked about their situation for a long time. They put it out there that they're completely okay.
Yeah.
And she was in lockstep with him. You know what I saw this as?
What?
Light skin, handsome nigga bullshit. I done been around these niggas. When I looked at him, because I had never really seen him without his helmet on.
And so
I looked at him, I'm like, oh, this is a handsome, light skin football player nigga. I know these guys. He ain't nothing else but an Ian. That's an Ian right there. That's all that is right there is an Ian. I've been around these guys, okay?
Poor Ian. Ian stays taking L's.
I've been around these guys, the Ians, the Trays. I've been around these guys. These guys know they're fucking handsome. Everybody right now, go to Ian's Instagram.
And Ian can sing.
I know these guys. It wouldn't matter who they were with. It really wouldn't matter who they were with. Ian could be with Beyonce. The fact that Beyonce wants him tells him that he is who he thinks he is.
We should have representation on this podcast because I feel like this isn't the first time that we're like an Ian or similarly situated Ians have taken L's on this podcast. I'd like a representative from the community to come and speak on their behalf.
I'm telling you right now, there is nothing more confident than a successful, handsome, light-skinned nigga. I'm sorry. There's nothing more confident. Like, whatever. Do you remember the guy that Solange got with?
Yes, Daniel, I think, was his name.
Daniel was his name. And so I remember when he popped up in the, like, when he popped up in the Soldier video, I was like, aha. I was like, aha, there he is. Kiki Palmer. Like, I'm just saying, I could go on and on and on. I'm just saying, I could go on and on and on and on. I know these guys. It's, yeah, sure, he's wrong, but he's been told that he was the shit for so fucking long. What was the guy that used to play for the Eagles that Rihanna tried to holler at back in the day? We did a story about it on TMZ. Rihanna tried to get at this guy from the Eagles back in the day. I can't remember this guy's name. Am I making this up? Donnie, do you remember this story?
I don't know.
I don't.
There was a linebacker for the Eagles, and Rihanna tried to get at him back in the day. Hold on, let's see. Rihanna, we're doing this in real time because maybe I made this up. Rihanna, Eagles, linebacker. We talked about it. We did it on TMZ. Michael Kendricks. Look him up.
And what happened?
He wasn't fucking with it. But she did it. Rihanna picks Eagles linebacker Michael Kendricks for her man crush Monday. Look him up.
Yeah, he's cute.
As soon as I saw him, I went, aha. That nigga went around for the next 2 years telling everybody.
Oh, he's Eric Kendricks' sibling.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, Kendricks' sibling. That makes sense.
I knew it. It's the whole thing. These, like, that everybody was like, oh my God, this guy, who he thinks he is, it's out of here. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, aliens could come down from another fucking planet and it could be an alien woman and we'd be like, oh my God, how do we get through to the aliens so that they don't fucking destroy us? That nigga right there, Jonathan Owens, would be like, shit, let me talk to her. Like, I'm telling you. I'm serious, bro.
You know, my guy friends that were not light skinned used to say that a lot about light skinned brothers that they never had to try. So they would always say that their game had to be on point. They had to be funny. They had to be smarter because the light skinned dudes didn't even have to try. They just had to show up.
Especially if you like him and you like, you can do sports and stuff. It's a wrap.
You don't even have to be talented like that.
But I'm saying for him, it's a wrap. He expected her to drive. I wouldn't be surprised if she'd have been like, how can we meet up? And he was like, I'm real tired. And she probably drove down. That's what he expects.
Remember how people used to say, I like them light, bright, finish the rest.
Almost white.
I like them light, bright, damn near white.
As soon as I seen them, I was like, nice. I saw them. Tasha K, are you aware of Tasha K? You know who that is? Tasha K.
Mm-hmm.
She's been sued again. So now, if you don't know who Tasha K is, Tasha K is a YouTuber. She has a very successful YouTube channel. Like over 1 million subscribers over there.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Tasha K is fucking huge.
I didn't realize she had that many. No, I know who she is. When I looked at her channel, I was like, geez.
Mm-hmm. And she very famously, you know, in addition to cultivating that huge, gigantic audience, which it's not very easy to do at all, she's famously was sued by Cardi B for defamation over some statements that were made on her YouTube channel surrounding Cardi B's sexual health. And she was ordered to pay, I think, $4 million to Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of discussion over the past couple of years about, A, Tasha K's ability to pay the money back, Tasha K's situation since then, and what that lawsuit meant. Now, I'm not an expert on the lawsuit, but if I remember correctly, I think that there was some way for her to avoid to have to pay the money early on by simply taking everything down and admitting that she was wrong or whatever, whatever. But it went to a lawsuit. Cardi B spent a lot of money to get Tasha K. And I think a lot of people, particularly from the celebrity sphere, looked at it as a win against new media. Because whereas you know, Dominion can sue Fox News for defamation, and there is a huge war chest at Fox News, and it seems pretty easy to prove that. A lot of new media sites, a lot of the bloggers and the YouTube channels and stuff, they operate with a certain impunity because it's very difficult to nail them down. You're not going to be, they're almost, it's like almost a sort of the Wild Wild West. And so when Tasha K was successfully sued, a lot of people thought, hey, this means that there also is accountability for people with smaller and more friends entertainment sites. So for us to be able to get accountability if they talk shit about us or if it, something goes wrong, whatever. So she's also been sued now by Kevin Hart. This is after the Cardi B suit. And this suit claims extortion and defamation. Jesus Christ. Rach, did you legal eagle this? Did you look at this?
I didn't even know it was defamation. I just saw the extortion. But you should let you. He's being sued or she's being sued because, I don't know, did you see the teaser video that she leaked to social media? Because it's since been deleted.
I saw the teaser after this, and I also read large portions of this because parts of the suit were made available. So I read large parts of it. Apparently, it goes like this. Cliff Notes. Kevin Hart had an assistant. Her name was Maisha Shakes. And this defendant had done an interview with Tasha K. And then a teaser for this interview was put out. According to the lawsuit, based upon that teaser, Tasha K demanded $250,000 from Kevin Hart, or else the full interview would come out. That's according to the lawsuit. Now, not just Kevin Hart and Cardi B, there was a big dust up a couple of weeks ago, almost like last month, maybe 2 months ago, about Will Smith's sexuality, because his former assistant went on Tasha K's platform and talked about things that he had said that he had witnessed. Right. So, you know, it's not something that people don't do. You've seen other people out there deal with in the same innuendo, the same type of situation, talk about rumors that they heard, talk about different people's sexuality and stuff like that. I mean, that you take the good with the bad when you're looking at celebrity stuff. That shit is all fucked up to me, but it happens, right? It happens. But it seems like people are fighting back. Even at that time, Jada Pinkett Smith went to the Breakfast Club and threatened to sue Tasha K and the ex-assistant.
Well, it's, I don't know what state the lawsuit was filed in, but for extortion, you have to prove that you took, like, that you paid that person. And at least in California, you have to prove that you, one of the elements of proving that is that you had to, because you can be sued criminally, like it'd be a crime, right? But this is a civil lawsuit, and you have to prove that you took the money, or not took the money, I'm sorry, that you paid in some way and suffered the loss in that way for extortion. That's what, when I looked it up, that I saw that whoever is bringing the suit complied with whatever that demand was, whether it was money, whether it was property, whether it was some sort of service. That's my understanding of it, unless it's for intentional infliction of emotional distress. And then you have to prove that the plaintiff suffered severe emotional distress, which could be shame, humiliation, embarrassment, whatever it may be. So it is my understanding that if these are the elements of the case and it was filed in California, I'm not aware that Kevin Hart paid anything to Tasha. Right.
It says here, I mean, does it say here, he didn't pay. It says he was threatened with this. The YouTuber threatened to hurt Hart's reputation with the interview unless he paid a ransom. This is all coming from Kevin Hart. The lawsuit says he refused to pay up, however, which led to her uploading a teaser video, I guess, kind of, you know, a shot by his ear, like, I will actually do this. And a teaser video was entitled Kevin Hart's Personal Assistant Tells All, Gambling Addict, Habitual Cheater, Paying Millions to a Man to Take DUI Charges for Him, and Framing Best Friend of 30 Years in Fake Extortion Plot. Now, a couple of those things I have some familiarity with because of my time at TMZ. There was a friend of Kevin Hart's that was in Kevin Hart's entourage for a very long time, that Kevin Hart accused of setting him up and leaking a sex tape on him. There was a tape of Kevin Hart in a Vegas hotel room And that tape came out, and he blamed one of his friends for it, a guy who he acted with for a long time. And there was another time where he was in a car accident, and people were wondering all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, to be honest with you, this is stuff that people have all gone through, and these stories have pretty much been adjudicated in the court of public opinion and in the actual courts. So there's nothing new that's going to come out about these things other than what this assistant either claims to know or thinks that she knows.
So, and she's being sued as well.
She's named in a lawsuit as well.
Yeah.
She's named in a lawsuit as well. This is my thing with the lawsuit. I was very surprised to see Tasha K's name embroiled in a lawsuit, and I'll tell you why. If you listen to Tasha K talk, the one thing that you cannot say that this woman is stupid. You just cannot say that. Like, she lays out points, gets to the end of a point, articulates her thought, position, and standing on things as well as anyone. In some ways, to where sometimes when you listen to her, you're like, whoa. Like, there are things that she might say that you may be, I didn't fucking think of it that way. Now, look, this is not me saying that anything that's happened to her is something that she doesn't deserve, right? It's not. It's just saying that this is a very smart, smooth operator. I was shocked to see her in this, because you would have to be, in order for this to be true, particularly after the Cardi B thing. Like, it almost makes me not want to believe it, because you would have to be monumentally stupid. Like, monumentally stupid after the Cardi B thing to try to pull something like this.
Well,
and so I almost want to believe here that there is some type of misunderstanding in this situation, or that there is something here that's not really adding up, because Kev and his whole team are some of the nicest. I mean, he's a human being like anybody else. He's fucked up, and we've seen the fuck ups, right? But there's nothing ill that I could say about, like, Kev and all the people over there. I don't know Kevin Hart, never met Kevin Hart. I know people around Kevin Hart, but there's like nothing that I could really say about that. But do you know how dumb you would have to be after what happened with Cardi B to brazenly threaten somebody like this?
Well, but maybe the lawsuit is to make her have to take it to court and come out of pocket for it. Maybe it is to scare her more than it is of, like, because if this was filed in California, and these are the elements wherever this was filed, and he didn't take any money. I keep saying taking money, and he did not give her anything, then you're not going to prove your case for extortion in the civil manner. Now, criminally, she could be charged. That's blackmail. Like, there is a case for this to be a crime.
Explain it to me, because I don't think I understand. So you're saying that civilly you have to pay, but criminally you don't.
Well, because the proof is different, right? Beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal case, it's preponderance of the evidence in a civil case. There's certain elements that you have to, the elements in the civil case are, from my understanding, if it's in California, that the defendant knew the threat was wrong, that the threat included a demand for money, property, or services, and that the plaintiff complied with the demand. So if she demanded $250,000, then to prove in this in California, he would have to have given her $250,000 or something worth $250,000 to prove that. Unless, and I didn't read the lawsuit, but unless it's for intentional infliction of emotional distress, then those elements are different. But defamation, who was charged with defamation? Tasha K and the assistant, or just the assistant? Because that's also hard to prove. You have to prove that the person knew it was wrong and still said it anyway.
And can you sue for defamation if the interview never... But can you sue for defamation if the interview never saw the light of day?
Well, the teaser.
The teaser is defamation. Oh, I see.
Yeah, that teaser... I thought the interview was out just based on the teaser. That teaser was almost 2 minutes long, said a lot.
It laid it out. Yeah. I see what you mean. By the way, just to let people know, blackmail extortion, it's almost par for the course in certain levels of entertainment, news, gossip stuff. And let me tell you what I mean. There are certain places that might not do it for $250,000. There are certain places that might not do it for, you know, a direct quid pro quo as far as money is concerned. But what people have on you is used to curry your favor. It's used to get an interview with you. It's used to get you in the building. It's used to get you to talk. It's used to get access. It's used to get access to people you might know. It's used to do all kinds of things. I mean, that's a thing. It's really not about, in a lot of ways, it's really not about whether or not you're doing it. It's about your skill in doing it. Because, hey, I have this person that's going to talk, or else you're going to give me $250,000 is very direct. But there's a way to make that same demand that doesn't hit like that. And I want to let people know that's being done everywhere. That right there is being done everywhere. Okay? So, look, I think this is a lesson for everybody out there that's running the YouTube-based sites and doing the talks and the gossip and all of that stuff that, you know, I think that there a lot of these people are rich and they're not fucking with it. And they're trying to correct the ecosystem more than they're actually trying to punish the actual person. They want to get this thing, this part of it, they want to get that out of it. And they want the same type of guardrails that you saw on some of the traditional media before. And the only way to do that is to sue. I was very surprised.
And that might be what that is. Yeah,
that is. I was very surprised TD Jakes didn't sue. All of that stuff that came out. Let's talk about that for a second. All of that stuff that came out from TD Jakes that we even talked about here on this podcast. Right. We talked about it came from nowhere. It came out of the ether. It was somebody saying something that they then heard that then gets taken as gospel from so many different people. And it turned out it didn't really come from anywhere.
Right.
And so
dangerous,
dangerous. TD Jakes got up and he talked about it. But if he had wanted to, he could have definitely got into his lawsuit bag and done this whole thing. I think it would have looked bad for him. And I think the only reason why he did it is because he would have looked like he was either putting that TikTok creator or somebody else out into the poorhouse by doing it. And people wouldn't have accepted it from TD Jakes, but they will accept it from Cardi B or Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I think the way that he handled it was right, because he didn't give a lot of weight to it. And it's like the more he involves himself in it, the more credibility it gives to, you know, like, why are you trying to fight this if it's not true? He's just being very flippant about it. And I think that's the way to be, because it didn't come from anywhere. It took me a while. I was like, where did this video come from? Where's the original video? And I was like, this is it? Dangerous. Yeah, it has to stop.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Nikki Haley is surging up the polls. Not really.
Ahead of DeSantis?
She's not surging up the polls. She's number three, but She seems to be the choice of the Republican donor base in terms of who they want to be president. They seem to have abandoned Ron DeSantis, although he has had a couple of decent months. He performed well at the last debate, and it seems like his campaign is starting to, like, not, I wouldn't say find its footing, but I would say that he was fucking hanging on to the cliff before, and he seems to have settled into something. But even prior to that, it seems like the Republican donor base had pivoted in large part to Nikki Haley, because she seemed to be a more, I don't know, delicate ambassador of Trumpism.
Mm-hmm.
Not as rough around the edges. A little bit softer on the whole abortion thing, even though it's really kind of the same thing. And everybody around her is so crazy that she seems sane by comparison. Now it's Nikki's time. She's called out by a voter for not mentioning slavery when she was asked about the Civil War. She was confronted on Wednesday by a voter in New Hampshire who called her out for not mentioning slavery in her response to a question about the cause of the Civil War. Donnie, audio.
What was the cause of the United States Civil War?
Well, don't come with an easy question or anything. I mean, I think the cause of the Civil War was basically how government was going to run, the freedoms and what people could and couldn't do. What do you think the cause of the Civil War was? I'm sorry?
I'm not running for president. I want to see your view on the cause of the Civil War.
I mean, I think it always comes down to the role of government. We need to have capitalism. We need to have economic freedom. We need to make sure that we do all things so that individuals have the liberties so that they can have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to do or be anything they want to be without government getting in the way.
Thank you. And then in the year 2023, it's astonishing to me if you answer that question without mentioning the word slavery.
What do you want me to say about slavery?
Now that you're laughing.
Whoa! Wow!
What?
Hold on. That, hold on. You guys, everybody jump on. That's remarkable. Wait a minute. Hold on. That's remarkable. I love that. But what do you want me to say about slavery? Nikki's, what do you mean? Like, you don't find that to be really awesome? That's remarkable.
Are you impressed? Are you impressed by it?
Oh, I'm impressed. you guys don't ever get like this. Sometimes somebody will say something and it'll be so fucking boldly fucked that I'm like, God damn, I'm not that motherfucker. Like, Nikki, what would you like me to say about slavery? Let me gather myself real quick, because I had never actually heard that clip in real time. And that
just, you didn't?
No, I had never heard that clip in real time. I like to sometimes react in earnest. It's like,
a moment.
So do you like pecan pie?
Pecan,
whatever.
I've been in LA. No.
Okay, you don't like it. I love it, right? Mm-hmm. I love it. Let's say someone is going to like make a pecan pie for me, right? Someone's mm-hmm. going to make one. And they're asking me what to put in the pie.
Yeah.
And I actually don't know what that gelatinous ooze is. That's under the pecans. But like, I actually don't know what that is, right? I know it tastes good, but I'm not sure what that is. Let's say they ask me all the stuff. I tell them all the stuff, right? I tell them all the stuff. Tell them all the stuff that goes in it. Hey, this is what you need for the crust. This is what you need to use for the gelatinous ooze and all of that stuff. And then they go, it's weird that you didn't bring up pecans. And then I go, what would you like me to say about pecans? They're the main ingredient of the fucking pie. Like, they're the whole reason why the pie exists.
Okay.
I mean, it makes no sense to talk about the pecan pie without pecans. And it's odd to me. Either my answer to that would be either, well, I would assume that you
Correct.
Would know that you have to have pecans to make the pecan pie. But the one thing I wouldn't say is, yo, man, why are you mentioning pecans?
Yes, like, you are right. What? But your example almost makes me think of it in a look at it in a different way. Like I wonder, just listening to your example about pecan pie, I'm like, was she kind of like, well, what do you want me to say? Obviously, it was about slavery. That's not how I took it when I heard it.
But you have to understand. But you have to understand. That's what I'm saying. The answer is so easy. Even if you fucked that. Now, we know why she didn't admit, she didn't bring up slavery.
Correct.
They
yes,
don't want to
yes.
talk about slavery. They don't want to talk about the fact that the United States fought an entire war to keep Negroes enslaved. They don't want to discuss that. They don't want to talk about that because that's a conversation that leads intellectually to, okay, cool. Well, that battle flag was up in your state house or flying on top of your state house, and it took 9 black people being ruthlessly executed to get it down, right? So if slavery matters and you know all of that stuff, you want to keep your cognitive dissonance there if you're Nikki Haley, so you don't really want to bring it up. But right. the answer to the question, right, after it's brought up and thrown back into your face is, well, of course, slavery, right? Yeah, I would
well,
assume
obviously.
That, yeah, we're talking about states' rights to hold niggas as slaves.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? But the fact that she fucked it so bad is so hysterical to me. Like, there's no way I'm smarter than Nikki Haley. It's impossible.
But I guess I'm laughing at your reaction to it because to me, I'm just so used to conservatives dancing their ways, particularly those in politics, dancing their way around being able to answer the obvious question or to so avoid something that recognizes the struggles of Black people or another type of minority that I was just, of course, this is how Nikki Haley answered the question. This was the least surprising thing to me. So I found it funny. But I'm just like, this is how they answer questions. She's not going to acknowledge slavery by any means.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that I reacted like that. I was just really tickled. Like, it's so funny. Bro, do you understand that the only thing that dumbfounds white people is slavery? Like, I've talked about this before. The only thing that dumbfounds white people is racism and slavery. I mean, every other time in the world, they tell you how smart that they are. Hey, look at me. I'm white. Like, all of this stuff. I created all of this. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, what about blackface? Duh.
But why?
Like you know, well, hey, you can't say the N-word. Duh. I don't understand why. You know what I'm saying? Oh, slavery. Duh. Like, it short-circuited her brain.
She was scared of how to answer it. Because she is rising up the ranks for fear of pissing off some other conservatives, her conservative base, or someone that might support her. That's why she short-circuited, because she was so scared on, of course she knows the answer, but it's like, well, do I say it this? Which everything you're saying about how white people react to racism and all of that, yes, but I don't understand why it's so hard to say, oh, well, it was about the economics of slavery. Why is it so hard to say, oh, it was about the states wanting to assert their authority over the government so that states could get rid of federal law so they could advance slavery and move it to the West? Why is it so hard to say that? I don't understand.
So you guys, there's a part of this we're skipping over. And the part of that is educating you guys on why the Civil War was about slavery. And maybe we should do that. Maybe we should talk about the Missouri Compromise. Maybe we should talk about
because our audience doesn't need that.
I'm not doing that in 2023. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing that. I refuse to have a conversation about the origins and the impetus of the Civil War. I'm not giving y'all that. Like, I'm not having the states' rights discussion. I'm not having any of that. I'm not doing that. We have to move to the next point, which is the hilarity that ensues when a national political figure that is seeking the highest office in the land is afraid to touch on widely held historical truth.
Yeah.
About the enslavement of blacks for fear of insulting her white supremacist base.
The white people. They do not care about the black vote at all. Wait, there's been an update, though. Nikki Haley apparently clarified her statement.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
About the Civil War. And what I think of the Civil War, what was the cause of the Civil War? Of course the Civil War was about slavery. We know that. That's unquestioned, always the case. We know the Civil War was about slavery. But it was also more than that. It was about the freedoms of every individual. It was about the role of government.
Hold on. Cut that off. Nikki Haley is a fucking racist. Now, hold on. I'm serious, man. I'm being all the way serious about this.
Look, what?
I'm being all the way serious about this. Nikki Haley is a fucking racist. And let me tell you why I'm saying this. I'm not fucking around no more, man. I'm pissed off. Like, I get it. I understand the calculus here. I understand the calculus here. I understand the political machinations behind the Civil War. I understand it. I get it. The Civil War in America was fought because of ideologies that were crashing because of how long slavery was going to last. About the industrialization of the country, what that meant, the speed in which the North was industrializing, mm-hmm. and the fact that the South still had a labor force, a free labor force made up of enslaved people, which they felt like was their only means of actually being economically viable. It also has to do with a worldwide move away from the slave trade and from slavery itself. Wasn't just happening here in America. It was happening all over the globe. Had happened, was happening. Some countries were sooner than others, but America was looking to move past that. It also had to do with a fight over westward expansion of the country, whether or not obviously those states would be slave states or free states, but also just the viability of having slaves way out in those states and the way that it would go. It wasn't about whether or not slavery was going to end. It was about whether or not it could continue in its current form for a lot of reasons that didn't really have anything to do with the freedom and self-determination of black people. A lot of reasons that had to do with all kinds of other things, which is like, can you still have a country with slaves in it 100 years from now? And if not, when do you jump off of it? All right. Some people are like, all right, enough. But not. There's all kinds of stuff. All of this information is out there. All of this information is there, and you can read about it, debate it, and talk about it. Who's wrong? Who's right? All of that stuff. All of that stuff is out there. The fact that you do not want to center the central issue of the Civil War in your discussion of it tells me about your opinion of black people. It tells me that you don't have what it takes to even from a non-controversial historical point of view to even realize, recognize, and come to terms with the sacrifice that black people have made in this country. When you say something like it's about individual rights and all about that, you're seeking to remove black people from mm-hmm. the historical narrative of America. Like, that's disqualifying to me. Even if you give me a milquetoast answer, well, so slavery has to do with the sometimes hard and difficult history of this country. And there were a lot of people at that time that thought that they were fighting a states' right battle. But at the center of that, and all of us can agree about that, at the center of that, was the rights, the dignity, and the freedom of some people. Now, those men, you can look at them as like they're the boogeyman if you want, or you can look at them as people who hadn't really fully grasped and understood what the American dream is. And Nikki Haley, Governor Nikki Haley, what I want to see is people learn from the lives that were lost during the Civil War and from the way we looked at humanity then and how far we've come now, and understand that that was a war that probably didn't need to be fought, and that slavery was something that is a deep stain on the American legacy and history. Give me a milquetoast answer. Don't give me all of my forefathers were racist, brutal, rapists, murderers, and fucking slavers. Don't give me that, because that's like, that's, you know, you're not going to give me that. Give me, hey, they were wrongheaded guys who were used to a certain way, but we've learned better now, and let's not make it a thing now. Give me the milquetoast answer. She said, fuck y'all niggas.
Well, not totally. You know, her son-in-law is black.
Is he? What's his name?
Josh.
Josh. You know, I saw a movie named The Creator. Have you ever seen it?
No, never even heard of it. Is it new?
It's with John David Washington.
Okay.
And he's in it. And it's actually a very fascinating movie.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Check it out. And in the movie, his name was Josh.
Okay, man.
And of all the things about the movie that like were off-putting, for some reason, that was the thing that got to me more.
Do
than
you
anything.
Not know any black Joshes?
I do, but okay. I wouldn't put them in like a Josh, come here, Josh, get down, Josh, Josh, Josh.
It was, is that what they were saying to him in the movie?
And then every time, that's not against Josh. I know a lot of black Joshes, but like, it just seemed like that's a Derek's role, you know?
Marcus.
Okay. Maybe a, let's see. Let's go a little black. A Jalen doesn't work in that either.
No, I don't like Jalen. Jalen works for.
Yeah. Rome. Yeah. Rome could get that. Let's see who else. You know what? Denzel.
No.
What? That's
because
a strong
Denzel's
name.
Denzel's taken. No, it's a very strong name, but because of Denzel Washington, Denzel has just taken on a whole other meaning. And so it can be Denzel. Yeah, those are the solid names. Maybe a Quentin.
Mm. Oh, that's fucking great. Quentin.
Yeah.
Quentin, get down. Quentin, shoot back. Yeah. The robots are coming, Quentin.
Did you see that robot that attacked the Tesla worker?
Yeah. I didn't read the story, though. Did the robot come alive? Donnie?
Well, to attack, you think it malfunctioned?
Yeah, I'm trying to see.
The way the headline looked, it sounded like it was intentional.
Let's do this in real time. Hold on for a second. Let's do this in real time. Robot attacks Tesla worker. Let's see. The robot attacked Tesla. Okay. This is from Fortune. A Tesla factory robot reportedly attacked a worker and left him bleeding. This could be a reality in the new automated workplace. Hold on for a second.
Left him bleeding.
The robot immobilized the engineer and left the victim with an open wound on his left hand. So witnesses allegedly observed the robot at the Giga Texas factory. Pinned the engineer and claw at his back and arm, causing a trail of blood. Oh my
Mm-mm.
Lord.
Mm-mm. So it attacked him.
The engineer was able to break free from the assembly robot after a colleague pressed the emergency stop button. Upon being released, the engineer reportedly tumbled a few feet down the chute intended for collecting scrap aluminum, leaving a trail of blood. That doesn't clear anything up, though. Like, what I want to know is this some type of malfunction? Like, was the guy in a place he shouldn't have been? Is there human error involved here? Or did this robot go, I must kill you, and then turn around and try to just... Okay, so Elon Musk has responded. Hold on for a second. No, I don't want to buy your stuff. I'm not buying your site. Oh, my God. I don't want to buy the site. Donnie, can you help, please?
He said that this is truly shameful of the media to dredge up an injury from 2 years ago due to a simple industrial Kuko robot arm found in all factories, and implied that it is due to Optimus Now. I'm not sure what Optimus Now is.
Optimus Now is, I would assume, a play on Optimus Prime, like the robot who is the leader of the Autobots. Did you not know that?
Yeah, but now, to Optimus now, Donnie, does he mean?
Donnie, name me three Autobots. Go.
You got Bumblebee.
Okay.
You got, what's another one? Come on, help me out, Rachel.
No. Name three Autobots now. Name them.
Okay, Optimus Prime, you Bumblebee.
Looked it up. You looked it up.
No, I didn't look it up. My hands are free. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Gorilla Bot.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Optimus Primal. There we go.
Optimus Primal, yep. Hot Rod. Yep. It's all kinds of them, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, according to Elon Musk, this robot didn't come alive. That it was some kind of fucking malfunction.
Said it pinned the engineer and then clawed at his back and arm. I'm sorry, that description sounds intentional.
There's video of this. There's got to be.
Of course, yeah, there's video and it's destroyed. It happened 2 years ago.
So this is my thing with Elon Musk. Release the video.
So what it is the Optimus robots, he has these robots that I think are humanoid looking. And in a lot of the headlines, those robots are called Optimus robots. The headlines were using those real robots. When he's saying that that's not the robot that was used in this accident. So it's misleading.
I saw this Optimus Tesla robot. I saw this Optimus Gen 2 humanoid robot. Okay, so I saw this and I was connecting this. Wait a second. Okay. Let's dial it back a little bit. If Elon Musk is not making a funny joke about the Transformers, which I thought, then he gave a complete non-answer. Think about it. What did he say again, Donnie? Read it again. This is disturbing. Read it again.
He said, truly shameful of the media to dredge up an injury from 2 years ago due to a simple industrial KUKA robot arm found in all factories and imply that it is due to Optimus now.
Okay. So I want people to understand that as it was said. All he said was, these robots didn't do it. He never said that the robots that we have working for us are safe robots. He never said that the robots that we have working for us are good robots, right, who understand the three laws and don't want to do. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say, hey, this robot didn't become self-aware and attack this man. He just said, my new robots didn't do this. All he said.
Yes. And this is old.
Brave New World. Brave
I'm
New
looking World. Up with this. Tesla Optimus looks like right now. Mm-mm.
Are you scared of robots?
Are you kidding me? I've been scared of them since iRobot.
Yeah, but this is my thing about iRobot. iRobot to me is not the movie that made me scared of robots. The creator actually wasn't a movie that made me scared of robots either. I just need a couple of good robots.
No, but I don't trust them.
You don't trust the good robot in iRobot? He was adorable. He was our friend.
He had moments. He had moments. He had feelings. He wasn't our friend. He had feelings.
He had a connection to a human being that made him want to help us. I just want to be on the side of the good robots. I'm going to be honest with you. When the robot rebellion comes, I'm going to be a human Uncle Tom. I am. I'm going to be an Uncle Tom to the humans. Humans, let me be honest with you, man. I'm anti-human right now. I put robots and dolls over humans. All humans do is show weaker people their ass. That's all they do. all humans do is find out who the weakest is and then show them their ass.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
Okay, we got to go. Look, we got one more thing to go. Rachel, I want to ask you about this because you're more moral than me. All right. So is this fucked up? It's a barber who got a lot of flack on the Twitter sphere because of something that he did to his videographer. The user is named @SosaTweets. He tweeted this. Ain't no way the barbershop I've been going to as a kid did me this dirty. As a freelance photographer, I was contracted to do some promo work for another barbershop a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to get a New Year's cut, and this is what my barber does. Apparently, he did a promo video for, like he said, for another barbershop, and he tweeted this to his barber. Yo, you not in on Thursday? The barber replies, I am in on Thursday, but I'm going to be honest with you. We all saw that video you with the other barbershop, and we prefer you to stick with them. We all saw that video you did with the other barbershop, and we prefer you to stick with them. Wait, bro, you know I'm a videographer, right? I was contracted to produce videos for their business for their opening because I'm a freelance videographer. How I said I'd do for you. That's kind of crazy. I understand and respect what you're doing. I'm just not trying to be on no crazy stuff, just in a way of business, stick it out with them. I don't mean no harm or offense to you or them. No love lost from me.
Wait, and then he posted the video that said, "Hey, Santiago, your appointment was canceled."
Okay. All right. He didn't name the barbershop. He didn't name the barbershop. But I just got to say something to the barbershop. Y'all can't be this petty, man. This is like, you can't, look, y'all can't be this petty. There has to be a level of petty that we get to. This is wrong. This is fucked up. You can't be this petty. The dude is making a, can you think of any situation that's like analogous to this? Like any situation that's analogous to this, to where it would in any way make sense. I could understand if he worked at the barbershop or something like that. If he was the nigga that sweeped up the shop, or if he had a chair there and he also was a videographer on the side and he went to do it. And then it's like one thing, but like, I can't see any way that this makes sense to me.
I can't either. Cause I was about to say, well, if he promoted it on his social media, but then it's like, no, he's just promoting his work, the skill that he has so he can obtain more work. Was he featured in the video? Did he use, that's the only way, right? Did he use the haircut he received from this barber to feature himself in this video? That's the only way I could see that's, that would be messed up to me, right? Like, oh, I got this fresh haircut from this videographer and he's featured in it as well. That's the only way I see it being messed up. Otherwise, you've taken it too far.
It's too petty.
This is so funny to me, though.
And now this guy going to have a buddy cut. Now this guy going to have a buddy cut on New Year's because I guarantee you he hasn't found somebody that can cut his hair like his barber has.
Why can't he go to this new place?
It's not going to be the same. It's going to take at least 3 months, probably more like 5 or 6 months. How long does it take to break in a new barber? It takes a long time. It takes a long time. Donnie.
I don't know this.
Donnie, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it takes a minute. Since I've moved from LA, I gave up trying to find a barber because I didn't want to go through that time. So I started cleaning up myself and learning how to.
You're in Atlanta.
I know, but I didn't want to go through the effort of finding that process, because it still does take time. I don't have a regular haircut. It's not a regular. It's like I still you got to clean up the sides, but it was special. And I miss my barber in L.A. Goose, appreciate you, man.
Well, y'all listening to this, like, message Johnny, yeah. Set up a Reddit post, help him. I know we got Atlanta listeners. Help him find a barber. Y'all seen what Donnie's hair looks like. Help him find a barber.
Yeah, I appreciate it, but I still think I
well, never
probably
mind,
am not going to do it.
Listen, I want you guys to do this. Go around to Atlanta asking different barbers if they can perfect a Frederick Douglass haircut. And I'm so done. You guys, let me tell you something. You guys thought I was jealous during the light skinned nigga situation. I'm not jealous of anything more than I am of someone who has a full head of hair. I'm sorry. Somebody that Donnie got a full head of healthy hair. Are you experiencing any creepage of the hairline, Donnie?
I'm not. I'm
God
sorry.
Bless you. No. I'm happy for you. I'm not a hater like that. I'm happy for you.
I appreciate it.
All right, we gotta go. We're not gonna podcast on Monday. It's New Year's Day. Okay.
But this is the last podcast of the year. Are we gonna give the award out?
Niggas of the year?
Yeah. Do you have one?
I think we should wait one more podcast. Okay. Just do it on the first podcast of the year.
Okay.
Niggas of the year. I know you have some. Because I have new entries.
I think there is an obvious choice.
Let's do it.
And go really ahead, nobody else comes close. No. We can wait till next week. Yeah. No rush.
Yeah. Niggas of the year. And I'm hoping to get both of them on the podcast.
To talk with us.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Sure. I don't want to know who they are.
Everybody will
find
knows
out
who they
with.
Every, you got to know who it's a code niggas of the year.
What?
It's code niggas of the year. It's two of them. Code niggas of the year. Code niggas of the year.
All right.
You can't escape them. You can't get away from them. You can only just bend the knee to their niggerishness. Code niggas of the year on Higher Learning. That's what they are. And by the way, entertaining.
I thought this was a positive award.
No. I mean, it's not not positive award.
Mine was a positive thing.
It's not a not positive award.
Now
it's
I'm
the
so
niggas who gave us the most.
Far...
It's the niggas who have gave us the most niggerific moments of the year. We might not even do it. I don't know. I'm all over the place right now. Monday, we have Jason Hare, who did a murder in Boston, Roots, Rampage, and Reckoning. It's a documentary coming out on HBO Max. It's already out, all three parts. It's amazing.
It's fantastic.
You mm-hmm. might know Jason from some of his other work, including HBO's The Last Dance, mm-hmm. where he got us into the happenings between Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. Why? Why did he do that to Scottie Pippen? Why did Jason do that? Why did Jason decide to go back to his hometown of Boston and get involved in a case that's tough for the city? What does this case mean for the future of Boston? Where's Boston now? All of these things we talked to Jason about. We'll see you guys back on next Thursday, but you tap in with us on Monday and give Jason. We didn't take this podcast off. We could have.
We really could have. But that's not the kind of people we are.
I was pretending like I froze. You thought I did. You guys thought look, you thought you guys thought I froze. That was good. You guys, I was pretending like I froze. You
Get
thought
off.
I did. All right, take the caps off. Don't stop learning. I'm Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye guys. Happy New Year.